Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
In Congress, my plan to bring the cost of community college down to zero, because 2 years of higher education should be as free and universal as high school is today. This week, I unveiled another way that we can help more Americans afford college. It doesn't involve any new spending or bureaucracy.
Oh, no.
It's a simple declaration of values,
what
I call a student aid bill of rights.
Oh, sure.
It says that every student deserves access to a quality, affordable education.
Oh, yes.
Every student should be able to access the resources to pay for college. Every borrower has the right to an affordable repayment plan.
Mm-hmm.
And every borrower has the right to quality customer service, reliable information, and fair treatment, even if they struggle to repay their loans.
Where does he get the demonic energy to wreck everything in America? Wouldn't it be nice? Thank you, guys. I appreciate that. This is Obama's vision for America. Everyone in a little house, a little car, eating little meals, smoking little marijuana cigarettes, with a little iPhone and a little medical care, all conceived and run by a little man with big ears. Last night, I was watching some garbage on television, digesting some Burmese food, and I scanned and I saw some CNN travel show. I don't know what it was. Some guy in an undershirt going to Greece, getting down with the folks, you know what I mean, on a Greek island. And he was glowing about how all happy they were. All of the people on this Greek island were happy. They drank ouzo in the morning. They all danced in the evening while drinking ouzo in the evening. And they showed how happy and healthy they were on this little island. Of course, he didn't report on the fact that they were all able to drink ouzo in the morning and not work all day but dance in the evening because of the hard-working Germans. And this, of course, is the flaw with Obama's vision for a socialist America, where there is health and prosperity for all. Everyone in a little Obama house, a little Obama car, eating little Michelle meals, smoking an Obama joint, with a little Obama phone and a little Obamacare, all conceived and run by a little man with big ears. And now we have to turn to the gracious First Lady, herself just back from a separate vacation in California. The first man flew to California, of course, on Air Force One. Why should he not fly on something smaller? To appear on a television show, the Yonah Schimmel Knish Hour. The same day, the First Lady flew to California to appear on another television show, but she wouldn't deign to fly in the same plane as the president. After all, there are no consequences to crapping on the taxpayer. There are no consequences to abusing the White House. There are no consequences to ripping off the people. So she does it. So she flew there and back on another plane, and you paid for it. And what did she do last week that you missed? Well, she celebrated the Persian New Year in the White House. Let's listen to the saccharine speech of the First Lady celebrating. I don't think she was here for American Thanksgiving celebrating. No, don't think so. I don't remember a Christmas celebration that was as enthusiastic as this. But then again, Valerie Jarrett's from Iran. So let's listen to these sound bites.
Hello, everyone. Naruzatan Mubarak. It is really, truly a pleasure to have you all here at the White House. I think it's so fitting that we're holding this celebration here today because one of my favorite things about the White House is how it is truly the people's house, a house that reflects the diversity of culture traditions
Air Force One,
that make
two,
us
and three.
Who we are as a
country.
Yeah,
right.
And Nowruz is one of those traditions.
Nowruz
for more than 3,000 years, families and communities
Nowruz
in the Middle
is
East,
our tradition?
Asia, and all around the world, including here in the United States,
have celebrated this
holiday to mark the renewal of the earth in springtime. And we're finally feeling spring. Yay for that.
Yeah, for the people in Boston.
To reflect on the year before and to make new
commitments. All right, turn it off, this saccharine garbage. Do you think it's appropriate for her to celebrate the Persian New Year at a time when we're allegedly negotiating with Iran to stop the maniacs from getting the atomic bomb? Of course not. But what can you do about it? You don't live in a democracy. You live in a cyber fascist nation. Write it down. You heard it first in the Savage Nation. It'll be on the Big Man Show before morning. Now, here's another story that is important for you to know. Last week, when the Clinton email gate hit, I speculated that it was the Obamas behind it. And the reason I did so is because it made no sense that suddenly the Associated Press, the New York Times would be saying, oh, yes, we need to see those emails. So I said, why would they be piling on Hillary when they're all liberals? And it dawned on me because Hillary is too centrist. They were hoping that Pocahontas would take her place. Pocahontas from Massachusetts being Elizabeth Warren, the fake Indian. And I said, it's the Obamas who hate the Clintons. Now, of course, I was 5 days ahead, 4 days ahead of everyone else on that. But the idiocy that passes for supremacy and complacency is beyond the ignorance of the crowds that listen to it. Let's listen to clip one from last week. I think that the Democrat Party is afraid of the filth. They're afraid of tarnishing the entire Democrat Party. And there's another element here that people forget. Barack Obama and his organization don't like the Clintons. Do you remember that? They hated each other. They're not one and the same. They may theoretically be the same genus, or shall I say the same family, but they're certainly not the same species of politician, and they hate each other. And I think that the Obama administration is just liable to do something amazing, like demanded the Attorney General look into those emails in order to undermine her completely and to bring forward another progressive that's even worse, like Elizabeth Warren Pocahontas. That's my suspicion. We don't know what's liable to happen, but for me to see the AP and the New York Times demanding the emails and this and that indicates that they want a far more fanatical leftist woman to run, and the bill is met by Pocahontas, the fake Indian. That's all. That was from last week. I think you heard that on another show this morning, as though it was a revelation, I suspect. Now we move on. Telegraph UK reports Elton John is slammed as a Taliban in Italy over Dolce & Gabbana robe. I don't know if you heard this one. Dolce & Gabbana is run by a gay couple, two men. And they have glorified the traditional family in a new product line. They said they really want to support the traditional family, Dolce & Gabbana. Well, for doing that, the fascist Sir Elton John attacked them and called for a boycott of Dolce & Gabbana. So now Elton John is slammed as a Taliban himself in Italy over Dolce & Gabbana Road. This is a very intriguing story. Sir Elton John was described as a Taliban by Italian politicians on Monday after criticizing Domenico Dolce and Stefano Gabbana's opposition to assisted fertility. In an interview with an Italian mag, the Italian fashion duo described children born through IVF as synthetic and said that despite being gay, they supported, quote, traditional families where children have a mother and a father. Well, all of a sudden, Sir Elton, 67, backed by a host of so-called celebrities, responded by calling for a boycott of Dolce & Gabbana clothing. What's his name? Elton John said, how dare you refer to my beautiful children as synthetic? And shame on you for wagging your judgmental little fingers at IVF. A miracle that has allowed legions of loving people to fulfill their dream of having children, Sir Elton John said, who has two children with his so-called husband, David Furnish, on Instagram. But conservative politicos in Italy swiftly rallied behind Dolce & Gabbana, accusing the British performer of trying to stamp out freedom of expression. I'm with Dolce & Gabbana, and I applaud their courageous statement. This is freedom of expression, said Roberto Formigioni, a senator with the New Center-Right. The campaign launched against the two stylists by Elton John is shameful and intolerable. Elton John is a Taliban. He is using against Dolce & Gabbana the same methods used by the Taliban against the French satirical magazine Charlie Hebdo, said the right-wing party. The opinions of Dolce & Gabbana are significant because they are both homosexual and they think along the same lines as the majority of Italians. A child needs a mother and a father. Full stop, said Mr. Formigioni, a former ally of Silvio Berlusconi, the disgraced conservative prime minister, who has often made off-color jokes about homosexuals. Carlo Giovanardi, another senator with the New Center-Right, said, The gay Taliban are trying to boycott Dolce & Gabbana just because they dare to say that every child has a right to a mother and a father. Elton John is an intolerant person who wants to block anyone who thinks differently. To him, said Elvira Savino, an MP with Berlusconi's Forza Italia party. The fatwa against Dolce & Gabbana is really hysterical and surprisingly un-British. Ha ha. You hear this? This is a very interesting story because here we have a gay company being boycotted by a gay for not being, I don't know, politically correct. You can put it that way. I don't like the words politically correct. But that leads to another story, which is the fact that in Italy there's a right-wing party. In France there's a right-wing party. In England there's a growing right-wing party. In Germany there's a right-wing party. And by the way, most of them are not Nazi, most of them are not fascistic. They're ultra right, which border on the fascistic Nazi element, but not the right-wing parties in these countries. Can anyone tell me why there's no right-wing party in America, only two left-wing parties? The Democrat socialist far, far left under Obama, and the Republican socialist under John Boehner. Why is there no right-wing party in America? And I'm reaching a point where, although I've said I will never do it, I'm starting to think maybe that's what God wants me to do. I'm really telling you, I'm seriously now thinking again, but here's the problem. Unless somebody is willing to sacrifice some years of their life to create a nationalist party in America, we'll be sucked farther and farther into the black hole of the far left, period. Those are the words I choose to use, the black hole of the far left. Unless there is a counterpoint in the form of a right-wing party in America, we'll be sucked into the black hole of the left farther and farther until there's nothing left of America. Now, I have talked in the past about leaving radio and creating the Nationalist Party. The problem is this. A, if I did that, it would take 20 years for such a party to gain any momentum in this country. That's number one. Number two, all it would do is elect a far-left candidate, as sure as I'm standing here, because it would break off the listeners from voting for any Republican ever again. Remember, I motivated most of you who are not going to vote to go and vote. Remember, in October, I started hammering you saying Republicans are useless. And I said, hold your nose and go vote for them anyway. Maybe we'll get a few good ones. And we have, by the way, with Mr. Cotton, Senator Cotton, and a few others who might save us from the Republican Party. But the point is, those of you who voted because I asked you to after buying Stop the Coming Civil War would no doubt want to contribute and join a nationalist party that I would create. But it would assure the destruction of America, and that is the problem. We do not have a parliamentary system where I could form a coalition with some other organizations, as is being done now in Israel. There's no coalition. It's a monopoly of two politically socialist parties, Republican and Democrat both. New World Order, International Socialist parties. One on a fast track, one on a slower track. It's that simple. So the question is, what do we do? Why is there no right-wing party in America? What, is it a curse to love America? Is it a curse to be an American? Is it a curse to love our borders? Is it a curse to love our language? Is it a curse to love our culture? I don't think so. And yet, who speaks for our borders, language, and culture? Has one politician spoken for our language and our culture? We've heard some mutterings about our border security, but you know it's all window dressing. No, I want to go out there and I want to talk every day in my stentorian voice about borders, language, and culture, and I want to take the country back from the vermin on the left. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com.
In America.
Thomas Vision for America. You fly on Air Force One. You live like a pasha, and everyone eats garbage. And you talk about the poor. And the poor will elect you over and over again. It worked for every dictator in history. It worked for Chavez. It works for all the others in South America. And since Obama's vision for America is very much like that of America, it's disgusting. And that's why we need a third party. We need someone to demand better of a president and a first lady who abuse the presidency on a daily basis without a peep from the media and a peep from the opposition, because there is no opposition. Why do you suppose there is no opposition to Obama to speak of? Answer, because there is no opposition to Obama to speak of. They're one and the same. They make motions to pretend they're different, but he's basically doing what they do or want to do when they regain power. So you hear nothing. I'll give you another example. Every morning I wake up and I see these vermin called ISIS blowing up churches, destroying 1,300-year-old artifacts, erasing civilizations that withstood the test of time and wars and famine and floods, and the world does nothing. If I were commander-in-chief, they would have been dead by now, and their wives and their children. What in the world is Obama doing, celebrating Persian New Year in the White House instead of wiping the scum off the planet? Why is he permitting them to rage across the Middle East? Oh, I know. I know. There's a coalition now of Iraqi forces that are making some headway in Tikrit. I get it. But why has it taken so long? And while ISIS metastasizes like a Nazi cancer across the globe, why does Obama refuse to acknowledge that it's Islamic? These are questions that would be raised if we had a legitimate third party or a legitimate opposition party, but we don't have it. They'd be screaming from rooftops that we get a commander-in-chief who would defend America, because this is the number one issue in most Americans' minds right now, which is they're terrified of the spread of the cancer of Islamic terrorism. This FBI chief a few weeks ago said that they're in every state except Alaska. And what did Obama do? He disinvited him from a conference on terrorism in the White House. What does that tell you about Obama? What does it tell you about the danger we're all in from this madman in the White House? And we do need a nationalist party. Someone to speak for America, not for the party.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Back to the I'm live, okay. I wasn't following it. I'll tell you why. My mind is kind of running on this now. And you're listening to the Savage Nation, and we're talking about a nationalist party as the only salvation for the suction of the international left, and the corruption of the Obama machine is so overwhelming. Obama himself is the embodiment of everything corrupt about politics. Here is a man who's a liar through and through. Every day he lies about the poor and free education and free this and free medical and free this and free that. And next, he's flying on Air Force One to appear on a 10th-rate comedian's television show and to abuse us even further, to show us what he can get away with. The first lady, so-called, flies on another jet to L.A. the same day, and you pay for it, you dummy. This is an indictable offense. Where is it written anywhere in the Constitution or the bylaws of this country that a family has the right to abuse the people like this? Tell me where. Show me where they're allowed to do that. And then give a speech about a Persian New Year in the White House. You see, this is what corruption is. Corruption is the abuse of power without ramifications. And it's the corruption of power that is getting the American people sick. At the same time ISIS is decimating churches and Christians and religious minorities across the Middle East, the President of the United States of America will not even call them Islamic? We have a problem. We have a major problem. So, look, I know the solution. I wouldn't say 20 years. Normally, it would take 20 years. Things are escalating so rapidly. I believe that if I were to leave radio and to create a nationalist party, it would take 5 to 10 years to get it to the point where it would have any validation whatsoever. Here's the problem. I'm going to make it simple for you. If I got 20 million people to donate $10 a piece, which is very doable, if I got 20 million people to give $10 to such a party, that's a $200 million beginning. It's not a lot of money. You need about $1 billion to run for the presidency, for one. And $200 million is piker's money to a senator, for example. I think that's the cost of buying a seat now in California. Yeah, about $200 million. It was 20 million 20 years ago, but because the amount they make is so great behind the scenes through husbands and contracts and this and that, it's about $200 million, I think, to become a senator in California. I don't really know the number. But what do they stand for? Nothing but stealing more money. There's another way to do it, and it's not a directly related story, but I'll work it in anyway because it's my talk show. If you don't like it, turn it off. Remember I told you the Dodge Motor Company pulled a Hellcat off the production line for me? And I was able to get one even though the demand is so high. I have an all-black 703-horsepower Hellcat with 200 miles on it, right? It's very hard to drive. The car is awesome. It's beyond belief awesome. It's unbelievable. Well, they stopped making it. Dodge hit the brakes on the Hellcat versions of the Challenger and Charger, suspending orders of the 707-horsepower muscle machines, they say due to overwhelming demand. But I don't think that's the real reason. They've received orders for twice as many cars as they plan to build. And this shortage has led to 50% markups on the car by some dealers, meaning it's about a $67,000 car. Some dealers are charging $30,000, $40,000 over sticker. And other dealers have taken deposits on cars that they can never even fulfill. So now Dodge has stopped making them to catch up, they say, with the orders that are in the system. But no one even knows if they'll ever go back and make the car because the car probably cost them $200,000 to make. Now, by my estimation, between the tool and the die and the special, they're not making any money on that car. They can't. They're losing $100,000 a car. So the point I'm making is, if I would have auctioned this car off for $1 million on this show, which again, I'm not doing, and say to you I would donate that money to the Nationalist Party, I could do that as well. See, I could start the ball rolling, but I don't have the years left in my, let us say, let's put it this way. I don't have 20 years left in me to go run a political party. I may have the desire to be the titular founder and head of such a party, but I'm not an organizer. I don't want to start hiring the gangsters who are in the campaign business. Do you think I want to go out and hire these cretins in the political business to create and run a party for me? You want to talk about corruption? The people who gave us Bob Dole? The people who gave us John Boehner, the people who gave us Mitt Romney, the people who always gave us John McCain. Do you think I want to have anything to do with those dirtbags? I don't. No, I don't want anything to do with them. And that's why I stay out of the political arena. It's why I stay on the radio every day. But then I wake up every day and I see the world getting worse. I see the corruption getting worse. The president is literally a raging maniac out of control. Power madness like I've never seen because nobody will say a word to him. Not one word of criticism is ever leveled at Barack Obama or Michelle Obama. It's somehow they think they're demigods. It's not the way the country's supposed to run. I don't care if you're black, yellow, pink. I don't care if you're gay or straight. If you're corrupt, you're corrupt. And if you're abusive, you're abusive. And if you love America, no one asks if you love America because they know that you love America. But the reason we ask about it is because we're not sure. Even those of us who would like to be sure are not sure. Celebrating the Persian New Year in the White House. You hear? From a couple that's gone every time there's an American holiday. No, we have a serious problem, which is why I say the solution may be, and I have to say maybe, a third party called the Nationalist Party. But I warn you, if it does get created, I don't know who could run it but me. I'm the only one who can make it happen. There's nobody else who can make this work but me. It's been my baby and my vision for 3 years now. I mean, I laid it out in one of my books a few books ago, and I think I talk about it to some extent in my latest book, Stop the Coming Civil War. But the fact of the matter is, you need a visionary to create anything. I don't care if it's a bakery product. You need a visionary to create it and to run with it and make it big. Now, put that into the most corrupt business in the world, which is politics. It's the most corrupt business in America. It stinks to high heaven, and it's run by gangsters and criminals. We have a gang running America that is so corrupt that they're undermining the Israeli elections, violating the U.S. Constitution, and violating all international law, and again, getting away with it. Now, it's true there's a Senate committee looking into this right now, but you know where that's going to go. It's going to go nowhere. You're going to have the Congressional Black Caucus. They already got the song sheet out ready. It begins with the word racism, and it ends with the word racism. That song sheet has already been printed. You just fill in the chapter and the verse. The title of the song is Racism. And every other word is racism. But the fact of the matter is they're conducting an illegal campaign in Israel. They sent 193 left-wing operatives into Israel to undermine Netanyahu. That's how corrupt this president is. Yes. And when Netanyahu came here to speak, we heard the difference between a leader and a politician, didn't we? And the fact of the matter is now they're trying to undermine him in Israel, trying to put in a left-wing party in Israel. You see, they want to remake the world into a new world order. And that is why right now Putin is the number one enemy of Barack Obama. It's not that Putin did anything in Ukraine that he really cares about. You think that keeps him awake at night? That he took put some troops in proxy form into Ukraine? I don't think they care about that. It's about crushing the opposition to a vision of a new world order that will destroy all of us. Well, I can go down the list, and I don't want to do the litany right now. It's too long and it's too exhausting. I'll stick to this pattern. So I could take some calls. The phone number is 855-400-7282. There are many stories that I'd like to get to that are related in some way. In fact, all of them could fit on this frame that I was going to talk about, and I'll give you a few of them right now. Here is a headline. Russia starts nationwide show of force. That's how Reuters put it. But you have to ask yourself, why is Russia showing force? Could it be because the United States is provoking war in Europe? Did you know that your U.S. Army, which is not really fighting ISIS, is sending an armored convoy 1,100 miles through Europe? Did you know that? Barack insane Obama, instead of fighting ISIS, wants to fight Russia and Ukraine. Russia is our natural ally against the Islamofascists. But the U.S. Army is sending armored Stryker vehicles on an 1,100-mile convoy through six European countries, so-called to show solidarity to allies in the wake of recent Russian actions in the Ukraine and Crimea that have Eastern Europe on edge. Did you hear this? 1,100-mile convoy, 3rd Squadron, 2nd Cav, Army's 12th Combat Aviation Brigade. I don't know how many men, it's not in the story. 3,000 troops. Here we go. There we go, 3,000 troops. That's not the amount here. It says, other recent actions include the Air Force's movement of 12 A-10 Thunderbolt tank buster attack jets. By the way, that's the same jet Obama tried to destroy 6 months ago. Remember I said, what, is he insane? Why would he kill the A-10 when it's a tank killer? Well, now they're moving Thunderbolt tank buster attack jets to an air base in Germany, not to attack the tanks that ISIS stole from the Iraqi military, but possibly to start a third world war with Russia. And they'll be matched up with 3,000 troops from Fort Stewart, Georgia. Now, I'm a student of history. And one of my most one of the areas that intrigues me the most is the start of World War I, which I call the unnecessary war. It began almost by accident. There was no reason for it. And once the countries were drawn into it, millions and millions of Europeans were slaughtered. Not only Europeans, but millions of Europeans were slaughtered for no reason whatsoever in battles that made no sense. 35,000 young British men were killed in one day. The next day, 30,000 Germans were killed for no reason whatsoever because the disgusting, corrupt, drunken old generals sent them into machine gun fire. And so the fathers and the sons and the brothers and the future fathers of Europe died. The flower of Europe died on the battlefields of World War I for no reason whatsoever. And it gave us Hitler and World War II. And what I see happening right now is a deranged madman in the White House whose ego is so frail that he would rather have war with Russia than take out ISIS. Can anyone explain that to me? Can any progressive listening to this show explain to me why it makes sense to go to war with Russia over Ukraine and not go to war full force against ISIS? I'd love to hear the rationale for that. Now, the question is, why has not one politician gone on the floor of our Congress and asked that question? From midnight till 5 a.m., why is he not filibustered to get an answer out of the globe-trotting president? The peripatetic first lady and president should be answering us as to why they're traveling on two jets the same day and why are they not reimbursing the treasury for those travels, since they had nothing to do with politics. They were simply for their own pleasure and their own ego advancement. But these questions are not being asked, are they? The question is, if such a third party did exist, would these questions then be asked? Well, I don't know. I think that once parties exist, they become somewhat corrupt. I think that all organizations, be they a church or a political party, become corrupt in time. Take a look at the Pope. Suddenly he's an expert on the environment. I can't wait till he comes here and gives a speech that Al Gore approves of. This is an example of what happens with institutions in time. They all become corrupted, which is why I, Michael Savage, remain a man unto himself, an island unto himself. When I say that, I don't mean that I don't have a corporation that gives me the outlet that I have. I do. It doesn't mean that I don't have a staff, which I do. I certainly do. But I function alone. Because the only one who can corrupt me is myself. And while I may be imperfect in so many ways, and I am, when it comes to politics, I'm a purist. Let me pause right here until I say something that I'm not sure about, which I haven't done yet. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Well, we know that this administration is following the protocols of the international radical left, and they're implementing the zany theories and propaganda espoused by every pothead and crackpot college professor that they've ever chatted with, because they're now running America. Now, the outcome here is clear. Their goal is the takeover of America, just as if we had been taken over by an invading army. When you have a pacifist liberal elite running throughout the halls of Congress and in the White House, they don't have to be open traitors. They're doing the same work as traitors. Now, I grew up in a different generation where I understood the dangers of the world. Unfortunately, so many of the American sheeple do not understand the dangers that they are in. They, like our administration, live in a dream world. They have no idea of the perilous times in which they live. They're like a delicate garden plant, a plant that's comfortable living with sunlight and fresh water, but oblivious to the threat that surrounds their greenhouse. And although weeds are creeping into the garden, taking over their neighbors one by one on a daily basis, they sit there smiling up at the sun, waiting for the raindrops to fall, not knowing that soon, very soon, the weeds will overtake them, and they too will cease to exist. America is that garden. The American people need a gardener who will defend them, who will uproot the enemies of freedom and till the soil of peace. The last thing America needs is Obama the destroyer. That is the concluding part of the last chapter of Trickle Up Poverty, Stopping Obama's Attack on Our Borders, Economy, and Security, published in 2010 and written by Michael Savage. At the end of that book, I wrote a Savage Manifesto on borders, language, culture, and economics, where I saluted the Tea Party's effort to hold Congress accountable with its 10-point contract from America. I liked it. However, I felt it didn't go far enough, nor did the list that the Tea Party put out mention much about borders, language, and culture. And so I created my own 37-point plan to counter the Marxist-Leninist view of America that this hard-left government of ours is spreading through their spread-the-wealth nonsense and their disregard for our Constitution. And I asked, how can we keep America from becoming financially, morally, and ethically bankrupt? How do we retain our place as a shining light to the world? And I concluded with my Savage Manifesto. The first point, which I felt was the most important, was English only, because the language glues the people together. Bilingualism divides the people and conquers the people. And so I said the first thing I would do is make English the official language of the United States. I would require all who immigrate to our nation to begin immediately to learn English as part of the requirement to qualify for the privilege of American citizenship. Likewise, and this is so important, all voting ballots be written in English only. You don't understand what they did here. In San Francisco, the most corrupt city in America, if not the world, the Western world, it started when they made the ballot available in 16 different languages. That was the end of a multi-party system. Not only in San Francisco, but in California. We have the most corrupt government in the world in California.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday? Got to work, plan to sleep on me. He'll come Tuesday.
It is the Savage Nation. And in the first hour today, I took an unusual departure, I admit. And I talked about the need for a third party, which I have defined before as the Nationalist Party. I'm not afraid to use the word, are you? What, in an age of socialism, I should not say the word nationalist? I should be ashamed of the greatest nation the world has ever seen? Why, because Michelle and Barack are ashamed of the nation, even though they abuse it? You know, it's interesting to me. They seem to be ashamed of America, and yet they sure abuse America pretty good. They're ashamed of America. I haven't seen them use the Greyhound bus. They like Air Force 1, 2, and 3. Everywhere you turn, they're taking separate trips to L.A. On your dime on Air Force 1 and 2, but they hate America. Well, they don't really hate it. They celebrate Persian New Year. I haven't seen them celebrate a Christian holiday yet, have you? Have you seen them celebrate a Christian holiday in the White House? I haven't. Well, I know he's a Christian, not a Muslim. The reason I know it is because the Associated Press told me, just as I know he was born in Hawaii, not in Indonesia. I mean, I know all of these things. I realize that there's a national amnesia about this administration, nor do I intend to spend this hour talking about this administration. I'm talking about the future of America, if there is one. If there is to be one, there must be a conservative or right-wing party. I'm proud to tell you that. Yes, a right-wing party. The radical left has made it so if you say right-wing, you're a bad person. When did it become bad to respect your own national heritage? When did it become a curse to respect the nation's patriotism, the patriotic values, for example, that built America? Is that something to sneer at? What, because Harvey Weinstein doesn't like it? Is that a reason to hate America? No, I think the opposite is what America is craving right now, and that's what we went to the polls for. And I will take credit for having gotten the Republican corrupt bums back in power. Yes, I will. I spent 2 months, September, October, November last year, urging you to hold your nose and go vote for Republicans, because I knew what happened before it. I knew that most conservatives were no longer voting. They had come to have such a distaste for the Republican Party. They stopped voting altogether, which is how we wound up with this radical, extremist, anti-American party in power. That's right. So I said, look, we got to do something here. So I said, hold your nose, go to the polls, and those few million extra voters who listen to the show, remember, if the show has, nobody really knows the exact numbers of people who listen to radio shows. It's all a guesstimate. But let's say it has millions of listeners a week, which it does. And I do this for 8 straight weeks. So you figure over those 8 straight weeks, I motivated a large number of people to vote who wouldn't have voted. That made the difference. Those are the people who have given up on the system again. Because after going and voting, they turn around and they see the most corrupt president in history is about to flood America with God knows 10, 20, 30 million illegal aliens from Mexico, Guatemala, Honduras, Nicaragua, El Salvador. And they don't know what to do because they don't have a voice of opposition. And the reason they hear no real voice of opposition is because there is no real voice of opposition. Don't you understand yet that the Republican Party, and I'm not here to bash them because they don't need any bashing, just the word Republican itself is bashing itself. The so-called Republican Party is not the opposition party. They want Obama to be the lightning rod for doing what they themselves want done. They want amnesty. Amnesty will be the death knell of America. There's no chance to save the country. If you flood America with 10 to 30 million illegal aliens who don't speak the language, forget about it. There's no nation left. It's over. The cohesion is gone. The ability to discuss ideas is gone because they don't even speak the language. How are you going to present an idea to a population that doesn't even speak your language? Well, you can't. Which is why the demon in the White House wants 30 million people who don't speak the language to become citizens. So then they can do whatever they want to do to the country the way Jerry Brown gets away with it in California, the way the mayor of San Francisco gets away with it in San Francisco. The people don't even know what he's doing, the voters. When you have a ballot in 16 languages, Tagalog, Arabic, you name it, 16 languages, in San Francisco. Why do you think Nancy Pelosi, Dianne Feinstein, Barbara Boxer, why do you think they wanted a ballot in 16 languages in San Francisco? Because they know that the indigenous population is on to them. They know that the indigenous population of voters knows how corrupt these triplets are. And so when you bring in illegal aliens who speak many different languages, you get away with anything as long as you promise them a pot in every chicken. Instead of a chicken in every pot, the Democrat socialists have put pot in every one of their chicken sons. That's been my phrase for a long time. No, not a chicken in every pot, as was said in the 1930s, but pot in every chicken. So that's why I've been talking about a nationalist party. And one of the things that I think that you like about my show is my ability to foresee events prior to their occurring, pretty much call them before they happen. So last week, I told you that one of the reasons Hillary was being attacked was because the Obamas hate the Clintons. Remember I said that? Now, of course, I heard it on another show today. That's typical. That's okay. It's the way it is. It's called follow the leader. Not in size of audience, but in, let us say, ability to see. And I've always been like Lynkeus, the pilot seer of the Argonauts, who rides the highest mast on one of the old sailing ships, because I can see farther than most everyone else in this business of ours. That's the way I see it. And I'm going to say it to you, and I'm not going to be humble about it. It's too late in time for Mr. Humble. Let someone else play humble. It's not my calling card anyway. So the few friends I have in the media understand where I'm coming from. They like my style. They feel we're too far along for mincing words. They think that things are going to get a lot worse before they get better. So that's why I say the only solution here is not to move the Republican Party, but to create a third party, now called the Nationalist Party. It's not the first time I've talked about this, but the problem remains splitting the ticket. You split the ticket and you guarantee another crazy socialist maniac, this time some nutcase like Pocahontas Elizabeth Warren. That's the conundrum we're in. They got us where they want us. There's no question that I could garner donations from 20 million people, 10 bucks a piece, $200 million to start the war chest. That would snowball. And then America would finally have a right-wing party, which we deserve and is long overdue, to counterbalance this insanity that we've seen creep into this government of ours over the last 15 to 18 years. But the risk is the dissolution of the republic with the granting of amnesty. That would be the end of it. And if Obama doesn't get away with it, Elizabeth Warren or one of the other crackpots on the left just might do it if I created this third party. So that leads me back to where I am. All I can really do is write about it and talk about it, because there's no way to create this third party and have any effect upon the political system other than to damage what's already there. That's the sad truth. Do you understand that? That is the utter sad truth. We're trapped, in other words, in a sort of dictatorship. And that's all I want to say right now on this issue. If you want to talk on this or any other topic, there are no open lines, because I know how this excites you. There's hope. And hope makes you want to call and talk. So let me take a few calls. Line 6, WABC in New York. Go ahead, please.
Yes, hi. I'm Victoria from White Plains, New York. I couldn't agree with you more, but I want to say that I do know why Obama is not going after ISIS in any real way, because he wants to eliminate Christianity, and that is, they're doing it for him. And those drones that hit empty locations where ISIS was, where their arms are long gone. I mean, we're not doing anything to do anything against ISIS, because they're
living. Many people in America think he's a fellow traveler or a sympathizer. I've heard this, and I read it on the internet. How do we really know what he's doing? All we know is he's not fighting them with the full force of the American military. Instead, I report today on the Savage Nation that he's sending thousands and thousands of U.S. troops across Europe in an armored convoy to threaten Putin. Does that make sense to you, to start World War III with Putin?
Not at all. And I'd also like to say his church is Black Liberation Theology. That was Mr. Wright's church, the wrong man. And also, do you expect any less from a man with a Muslim name, with an advisor?
Well, I don't want to turn this into an anti-Obama show, because doing it only lessens what we already know about him. We know he's all of these things. As far as being a sympathizer with ISIS, it may as well be. It doesn't matter whether he is or he isn't. He won't say they're Islamic. He won't put the full force of the U.S. military against them, and he seems to be focusing on Russia rather than ISIS. And by the way, Russia would be our natural ally in a fight against the Islamic State, wouldn't it?
Valerie Jarrett was...
All right, we know. On and on. That's the same, you know, fare that you could hear on any other show all day long. This is, you know, that, you want to talk about the JV team of radio? The JV team goes on and on about those issues. I can't do it anymore. No, people tune it out. I don't blame them. They've heard it before. It's like a peanut gallery on a television show. Let's take the next caller. KCMO in Kansas City. Go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, this is Mark, KCMO. And not to turn it, but I believe that they're clearing the decks for Michelle Obama to run in 2016. They have the emails, and they're just not going to release. They're holding them over Hillary's head. And I believe that they're going to run Michelle. She's not giving up the plane.
No, I can't even respond to that. Doesn't she have to create a committee to run for something?
Well, I'm sure she will.
When? A day before? I don't know if that's valid. I mean, I've heard rumors about Michelle Obama running as senator in California. I think that's more viably possible than her running for the presidency. I think that after the devastation that her husband has caused, she wouldn't stand a chance in hell of becoming president. But because of the devastation he's achieved, she would have every chance in the world of becoming a senator in the most corrupt state in the union. Thank you for the call. That was nicely put. Nice iambic pentameter, nice balance, nice choice of words. And it sort of rings true. Here's a campaign promise from Netanyahu, the man that Obama is trying to undermine from afar. No Palestinian state if I'm reelected. Wow. I mean, he'll actually say that? Meanwhile, this corrupt administration of ours has been trying to oust Netanyahu by sending 193 radical leftists to Israel over the last 2 months to undermine Netanyahu, including a man named Byrd, who ran Obama's campaign in 2008. Check out the facts. He's meddling in a foreign election. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Here are some questions that I've been asking, which is, if we created a third party called the Nationalist Party, I don't like the word conservative. It has too many negative connotations, and it's so watered down it has no meaning. What does the word conservative mean? It's a laugh line on a late night show. But when you say a nationalist party, let's see the government jesters take that one on. Let's see what the marijuana heads, who like to ridicule everything that's good about this country, have to say. Are they going to laugh about somebody who loves their country? So that's one topic. Then the other topics are, what does the president have to gain by provoking Russia into a war? Why is the president so aggressive with Russia but sheepish with ISIS? Another study came out over the weekend showing the great dangers of memory loss from marijuana. And you ask, why is it still being pushed so hard to be legalized? I'm the only one who knows why. I know exactly why, because I try to stop it. In 1998, I had one of, what is his name, that lunatic, leftist billionaire who made his money by trading currencies, George Soros. George Soros, the most dangerous man in the history of the world, in terms of a behind-the-scene manipulator of nations through their currencies, and a demonic man, by the way, in my opinion, for whom there is not enough money and not enough power, a man who put Obama in power, a man who has created the Arab Spring through his money and foundations, a man who has an animus for the West unlike any I've ever seen, from an alleged survivor of the Holocaust. I have no idea why this man has such a hatred for the country. I can't understand it. Now, in 1998, he sent one of his stooges out to promote the legalization of medical marijuana in both Arizona and California. I remember to this day, I have a very good memory, $1 million in Arizona and $1 million in California to undermine common sense laws which prohibited the legalization of marijuana. And they argued that it was only for medical use. We all know that's a ruse to legalize the drug. Now, I'm against punitive laws that criminalize the use of marijuana. I want to be clear about that. I think the prisons are filled to overflowing with drug offenders who don't belong there. Drug dealers, execution. Drug users, something else. But nevertheless, as we well know, it was a ruse to legalize marijuana, not so much for the social liberalization that you would think. It was to destroy the minds of an entire generation, to make them as malleable as the Chinese were after opium had been dumped on them by the English. Write that down. It's a pretty good sentence. And don't leave out any of my words. And please don't add any words to it. So that's another topic. Any of these are fair game on the Savage Nation. I know it's too much information in one day, but it's all interrelated. The it seems the nation's coming down like Chernobyl, like a nuclear reactor that's melting down. WABC in New York City, line 8. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Mike. I wanted to know what you think about, I mean, you're talking about this situation with Obama and Russia and Putin. I wanted to know what you think about the accord that was signed between the United States, Russia, Great Britain, and the Ukraine during the Cold War to maintain the integrity of the Ukraine should they give over their nuclear weapons, which they did.
You mean Ukraine, not the Ukraine?
Yeah, Ukraine.
Okay. So you're saying, should we honor that accord?
Oh, yeah. I'm saying, well, I
mean, that's what you're saying. You're saying that that's why Obama is willing to go to war with Russia, because he's such an honorable man and he wants to respect that accord. Is that your implication?
Well, there's not going to be a war with Russia. Let's be honest here. There's not actually going to be a war with Russia. But the thing is that...
Whoa, wait a minute. You see, here's the problem, and this is what bothers me. This is how World War I started. All the major powers started to play around saying there's not really going to be a war, but there was a war. And, you know, all it takes is one missile fired by one, let us say, soldier in the wrong place, and you have a war. But don't you think that Russia would be our natural ally in our fight against the Islamo-fascists?
Not really. Because the thing is...
Wait. You said not really? Isn't it Russia who knew how to take on the Chechen fascists? With a ruthlessness unlike any we had ever seen before?
The thing about it is that Russia...
All right, think about it and get back to me.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
Hello, everyone. Naruzatan Mubarak.
First lady after, really, that was actually last week. Before we heard it stop. That's before she ran off to California to appear on a... 10th-rate television show. The same day her husband flew to California. Same day, two separate jets. Doesn't that disturb you? Does a liberal out there approve of this? Is there a Democrat in the House who will stand up and say, shut up, they have every right to abuse the taxpayer. Don't they all do it? Is that what you're saying? They all do it? You mean George Bush and Laura Bush flew to California on the same day on two separate jets for fundraisers or to appear on television and build us? Not. No, they didn't. Their abuse of power is becoming catastrophic for the nation, not only politically, but personally. They're setting a terrible example for the nation. And so I'm saying, where does this end and what needs to be done? Now, maybe it's a little esoteric to talk about a third party. It's absurd, pie in the sky, you know, who's going to really pay attention to a guy on the radio who was talking about creating the Nationalist Party, some crackpot. I'll stick to those good old Dem Repubs. All right, well, you stick to it. My guesstimate, and I have the most accurate stethoscope in the media, is that there are 30 million people who would want to participate in a third party. That's my guesstimate, 20 to 30 million people minimum are ready to bolt from both parties. They hate them and they know they're corrupt. So you say, well, what would the party stand for? One, English only. Two, close the borders. Use illegal aliens to build a wall between the United States and Mexico. Hire Sheriff Joe Arpaio to oversee the project. Pay the illegals for their labor in the form of a one-time worker fee. Upon finishing, repatriate them. Does that offend you? Doesn't it sound shocking to even say that today? I wrote that in a book 2 years ago. Three, defend the borders. Pull the troops out of Germany and South Korea where they're doing nothing, and put them on our southern border where there's a real threat to our citizens. Defending South Korea can be done with our ships and subs with their tactical nuclear weapons. So I'd put our troops from Germany on our border with Mexico. You like that idea? Yeah. Number four, defund and repeal Obamacare. Remember how the Schechter brothers overturned FDR's socialism? Sue on the grounds of religious freedom. Use Schechter brothers' strategy from Chapter 5. Five, reduce the size and scope of government. The federal government is out of control. With the exception of the military and defense, reduce all departments in size by 4% each year for a total reduction of size by 16% over 4 years. Require all government employees to speak English and have achieved at least a high school diploma. You think that that's the standard and norm today? You're wrong. Next, oil for illegals. Mexico has what we want, oil, and we have something they don't want, their unemployed citizens. To offset this alien invasion, Mexico should pay us one barrel of oil per month per illegal alien that sneaks into our country. Americans are also owed tens of billions of dollars in reparations from Mexico for the generous free health care, welfare, and ACLU care they've received for five decades. Now, I realize this would shock Bob Schieffer and the other stooges of Obama and the international socialist left, but shock them I would. I'd stand up to any one of them and I would talk them down, I can guarantee you. And I'm not Samson. I'm just an ordinary concerned American. Next in my program to save America is strike down the Anchor Babies law. Eliminate the loophole in our law that encourages illegal immigrants to enter this country for the purpose of having anchor babies who are then U.S. citizens simply because they happen to have been born in our hospitals. Next, export all jailed illegal aliens. Our federal, state, and local prisons are overcrowded with, at the time, 2.4 million inmates. Of that number, 29% are illegal aliens. They don't even belong here. Yet we're paying an average of $29,000 per year to house, feed, clothe, and entertain them. Send them all back to their country of origin. Problem with that? Would you have a problem with sending back one-third of all of our prisoners, whatever country they come from? I don't understand why you'd argue with that. Next, tell me if you agree with this or not. Does this shock you? Use profiling to prevent terror attacks. The attempted terrorist plots on our own soil follow a definite pattern. All these acts were carried out by radical Muslims. Shrewd police work requires common sense. If acts of terror repeatedly come from people who practice a certain religion, and if all these acts are in accord with some twisted notion of their holy book, prudent police work would dictate that we immediately employ national, if not religious, profiling to stop the next terrorist before he or she succeeds. Problem with that one? Well, you know it makes sense. So naturally, Obama has a problem with it. That's all. I'm not going to read all of these rules that I've written, but they were written a few years ago in the Savage Manifesto on Borders, Language, Culture, and Economics. And there's 37 points in there. Some of them are no longer applicable, but it ended like this. Run the country like a business, not an empire. And I say this, we cannot blame President Obama for the entire economic morass we are in. However, as any homeowner knows, if you have $100,000 in debt at the end of the year, you don't eliminate that $100,000 debt by incurring $300,000 additional debt, which your children will have to pay for. Instead, you pay down that debt by cutting unnecessary expenses. Maybe you take fewer Hawaiian vacations. Maybe you don't fly to California on Air Force One while your wife flies on Air Force Two. But if you're a person, you drive one car rather than two. You eat out less often. That's known as belt tightening, a simple principle bureaucrats can't seem to grasp. As such, we must stop them from further federal bailouts and stimulus packages altogether. So in truth, this is just the place to start. Much more can and should be done. It's no secret, for example, that the secular humanism, the insistence that human beings are the center of the universe and the final arbiters of right and wrong, is the religion of choice for libs. It's a spin-off from Marxism developed by godless communists to justify a self-centered view of the world, one where the state becomes God. Did you hear that? The state becomes God and the president is a demigod. However, if you read through the documents upon which this nation was founded, and if you read the writings of the founding fathers, You'll realize that the real basis of our existence as a nation is a contract with the Judeo-Christian God. It's time that we renew that contract. Okay? See, it all sounds shocking today, doesn't it? And yet I wrote this only 2 or 3 years ago. And yet this man has taken us so far down the spiral of secular humanism that what I am reading to you, which is commonsensical, now sounds illegal and dangerous, doesn't it? That's called Animal Farm. That's called the Animal Farm that Obama has dragged us all into. So now let's take some calls on the Savage Nation. Line number one, WMAL in Washington, D.C. Go ahead, please.
Hey, how are you? My name is Fernando Alvarez. Giving you a call about the marijuana legalization. Earlier today you were saying that you don't disagree with it, that you think they're just doing it to dumb down the youth, the next generation. I totally agree with you. I think that's
it does. It's a terrible drug. It's the worst of all drugs because everyone knows the dangers of heroin. Everyone knows the dangers of crack. Everyone knows the dangers of speed. But the children don't know how dangerous marijuana is because every movie put out by the Hollywood idiots makes it look like it's a benign little herb they're smoking.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I used to smoke marijuana, and in those years I was younger, I was dumb. I'll tell you what, from what I was a couple of years ago smoking it, from what I am now sober, my head is totally clear.
Thank you very much. That is correct, and thank you for calling. But a new study came out showing that daily marijuana use may affect short-term memory, and even casual use of marijuana can lead to brain changes. Well, we knew that, right? Listen to this one, dopeheads. A new study shows that teenagers who smoke regularly but then kick the habit in a couple of years may see their long-term memory take a hit, too. The study was published Thursday in the journal Hippocampus, and it analyzed 97 study participants, and it found that their long-term memory was damaged for years to come. So be very careful who you believe, you folks out there who think that marijuana is good, because every movie put out by the filth of Hollywood shows them smoking marijuana as though it's just sort of like a friendly little herb that has no effect. It's a hallucinogenic that has long-term effects on people's memory. What else can I tell you that will upset you today and bring you in line with reality? Well, an awful lot of stuff. Let's go to KSFO Radio Online. KSFO, go ahead, please. Are you there? Goodbye. I don't have the time to ask if you're there. That's just, if you're not there when I hit click the button, you're gone. Okay, next one. Line number three. Go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, my name is Autumn. Real quickly, I agree with everything you're saying. I'm on social media a lot. I think the tide is turning. I think people are realizing what has happened in this country. I think people are starting to fight back. I'm one of them. I always sat on the sidelines, never really participated, and now I'm starting to get involved. I think the lesson, people are looking at what happened with Nazi Germany and realizing the same pattern is repeating.
Well, I hear that Nazi Germany thing. What is it that makes you think that Obama is dragging us to a fascist state?
A lot of things. There's Naomi Wolf wrote a book about the 10 patterns of the 10 patterns of fascism. I apologize, my battery's going to die. And basically, we are following the same pattern. All dictators follow the same pattern, and creating a police state, silencing journalists. Arbitrarily locking people up. I mean, everything in that list has happened.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me send you a better book than that by this unknown author you mentioned. It's called Stop the Coming Civil War by your genius, Michael Savage. Stay on the line. I'll send you a free copy, and you'll see the real holy grail of the neo-fascism that's being brought in by this very, very good liberal family man in the White House, the nice man who wouldn't take advantage of the population. The nice man who is really for equality and fairness and things of that nature, who abuses the taxpayer at every turn he gets. Now, here's another little story from San Francisco. Quote, bigoted text disgraced SFPD chief says vowing rapid action. Four San Francisco police officers have been investigated for sending racist and homophobic text messages. And they've all been on the force for more than a decade. And they were all put on leave because they wrote sexist, racist texts on their personal iPhones to friends not as part of their official job. So let me ask you something. As distasteful as some of these tweets are, do you think that cops like this should be fired? Do you understand that this is cyber fascism? My headline is, Libs bring cyber fascism to the United States. What will be next? It will be children reporting on their parents the way it was done under one little house painter from Austria. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Now, I don't know if the phrase cyber fascism has been widely used, but that's what Obama has wrought in this country. He's using the spies in the NSA and other agencies to spy on all of us. That's what most Americans think is going on. And now the liberals are bringing cyber fascism to the United States in the form of, let us say, any policeman who writes a homophobic or a racist text or whatever on his own little device to someone else not on duty. They're putting them under investigation. Now, this ends, of course, the way it did in Germany in the 1930s, when children were told to report on their parents to the Nazi regime. You don't know that that's what happened? That's where this is going. Case in point, British boy, 15, arrested over a so-called racist tweet. He didn't like a player. The player happened to be of African heritage. He said something negative about the man's race. In Britain, they arrested him. They didn't admonish him. The police came to the boy's house and arrested him. Is that good? Is that what you leftists want? Because that's what you have wrought. And by the way, speaking of cyber fascism, have you seen any reports recently of the Ferguson shooter after he was caught? Isn't it funny how before the Ferguson shooter was caught, you know, the guy who shot the police last week? Oh, you forgot that already? Your long-term memory is gone as well as your short-term memory? You mean the same Ferguson that was on MSNBC 24-7? The same Ferguson that Wolf Blitzer wore on his lapel was suddenly dropped when the shooter of an uncomfortable racial heritage was found? Suddenly Ferguson was dropped from CNN and MSNBC? Is that really right? Is that not a form of cyber fascism? Or shall we call it telefascism? Whatever you want to call it, I don't like it. And you shouldn't like it either. Every day, in every way, they lied about Ferguson, Missouri. Every day, in every way, Holder and Obama stirred up the masses against the police. Then finally, one of the animals in the street shot the cops last week. And all of a sudden, after getting what they asked for, Obama, Holder, Sharpton and company, they all said, oh, God, we're so against that. But did you notice that the shooter was not shown too often in the media? Did you notice it's because he didn't look like Timothy McVeigh that the story was suddenly dropped? That's another form of propaganda. Do you understand that as well? Well, I think I've given you enough thought for the day, enough ideas for the day. I would recommend the following. If you'd like to see my manifesto in its current form, it happens to be in my best-selling book, Stop the Coming Civil War. It's a very important document that is more pertinent today than when I wrote it and published it last November, or was it October? And I suggest that you read it very carefully, because sometime within this year, I will be publishing a sequel, which will be my last book of this type. I will not do any more. I said I wouldn't do any more after this one. I thought I would leave radio after last year. But unfortunately, or fortunately for you, God has given me the strength and the desire to continue doing this for a while, and do what I can and do what I will. That's what I do for a living, is that I speak and I write, and therefore I am. And on that note, I'll leave you right now. There's another big hour across America, perhaps not on all of the stations that you listen to, but you can follow me online if your station doesn't take the third hour. You can catch it online. For those of you who are listening on a local radio station, be here or be nowhere. I'm Michael Savage. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
There's rampant speculation. The currency is fundamentally devalued. People don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. The stock market goes up 200 points one day, goes down 200 points the next day. And the social mores of America go up and down like the stock market. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Hedge fund manager says it's a truly scary time. He's the one who warned about the last financial crisis, and he sees parallels of that run-up in the market today. And his name is Andy Redleaf, CEO of a $4.2 billion hedge and mutual fund manager called White Box Advisors. And he said this in an internal memo Sunday night obtained by CNBC under Tweet This. He said that the cause is the stimulus that was used to put fresh money in the markets could end poorly, just like loose credit standards in housing before 2007 crushed that market. Now, we can't really talk about that in a direct way. All I can tell you is hedge your bet and buy gold through Swiss America, period, end of story. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. And I would trust that this can't go on forever. And for those of you who don't agree with me, then don't agree with me. That's all. Do what you think is best. Now we'll go back to some of the topics of the last hour on the Savage Nation. Cyber fascism, where liberals have brought us to this point, where private tweets are now being used to fire police in San Francisco. And some of these are really good veterans of the police department. Some of these are really tough guys who've kept the city somewhat safe. But the federal government was brought in by the liberal fascists in San Francisco, and they have taken four officers to non-public contact positions because they sent offensive tweets. And they are offensive. No one's supporting them. But they served with distinction for many years. And these private tweets are now possibly going to cost them their jobs. The question is this. Do you know what Obama's private tweets might look like? Do you know what Hillary's private tweets might look like? Well, we know there are 30,000 emails that have been deleted. How do we know that some of them weren't offensive towards some special interest group or another? Well, we'll never know. But the question is, should private tweets cost people their jobs? Where does it end? It ends with the children being encouraged to report on their parents by a cyber fascist government. That's the way it was done in Germany in the 1930s, where little Nazis were told to report on their parents who might have said something disparaging about the Führer. And if they said something disparaging about the Führer or the Nazi Party, they were visited by members of the Gestapo, who would arrest the parents if these reports by the children were found to be true. Now, last Monday, to switch topics yet again, for those of you who can follow me but don't want to or can't follow me but do, I did an interesting show on the White Owl. And I've been getting very interesting emails from people on my dream of the White Owl. And don't think I don't see them. I do see them. And I can't read all of them. But I do know that many of you who follow me almost religiously understand what that dream, the White Owl, means. And that one day I will disclose to you a painting that I did about the White Owl. But today is not the day for it, nor is it a day for dreams. It's a day for politics. So politics it is, and now let's go to the callers. WMAL in Washington. Go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yes. Hey, this is, my name is Q, Mr. Savage. I thank you for getting my call, first time caller. And I just wanted to address, about the tweets and stuff from the policemen. It's kind of touchy because, it is wrong what they did. I mean, you don't want a policeman on duty if he has that type of mindset to have those racial texts or emails, whatever it was. Yeah, is it bad that they got it by just honing in on other people's personal emails or texts, whatever? But still, the data is there now, and it just touched.
Well, all right, what you say has truth to it, but let's follow it out and make it fair to all. Are you telling me that there are no minority politicians who have offensive tweets that they hide from the public?
Yeah, I know they are. I mean, I agree with you totally.
Are you telling me that Al Sharpton would not have in his life, in your opinion, ever have sent one or more offensive tweets about people who don't look like him?
Yeah, he has tons of them. But I still,
All right, so my point is this. Where do we start and where do we end with arresting or firing people based upon offensive, homophobic, or racist personal messages? That's what I'm asking.
It's so touchy, man. I mean, but let's understand, though, we can allow policemen, even though, I'm pretty sure, all those guys, I'm not no fan of those guys at all. I'm trying to be fair, you know, but we still don't...
Well, but what you're saying, I think what you're trying to say is that policemen are in a special category and they shouldn't be allowed to have personal, even though they're offensive opinions. Isn't that what you're saying?
Well, yeah, that's their conduct.
Well, then wait a minute. What about an offensive man like Al Sharpton? He has more power than any police chief in America. And do we know what his personal tweets might look like?
We do. I bet we found those. We should take action. Just like taking action with these policemen.
Well, I'd like to see the personal tweets of Eric Holder and Barack Obama. I'd love to hear what's said in the White House when there are no microphones on. But actually, it's their business, isn't it, to say what they want?
Yeah.
So therefore, I'd rather base it upon public actions and public policy rather than secretive actions and secret policies that they are conducting with themselves that has no direct effect on anybody.
Can I ask you a question, Mr. Savage? I'm agreeing with you totally, really, but it still doesn't alleviate that.
I understand it's disgusting to see these things. It makes you wince. I read them and I winced. But on the other hand, where does this end? That's what I want to know. Where does it end? When is a person allowed to have a private life, however offensive that private life may be? Isn't that what the word private means?
Exactly. It just means
I'm trying to find the truth here. Are you telling me that you don't think that most people have secrets?
Yeah, they do. They do. I have secrets.
All right, fine. Everybody has secrets. And so that's what makes for a human being, is things they want to keep to themselves. Isn't that true?
Yeah, I guess if this, I guess...
Now, if it affects the person's judgment in terms of his professional or job-related duties, and you can prove that, that's another story. But if it doesn't, then where does that leave us? I'm a little worried about where this goes, and that's why I brought it up. It's not that I'm supporting these tweets. They're horrible. They really are, where they attack minorities and gays. I don't agree with their tweets, but it's a personal email, not on private, on public time.
Policemen, in some case, some situations that nobody knows about, acting on their beliefs when they were out there performing their duties, just nobody don't know about it. I mean, that's just hard to say.
All right, look, I understand you have a sensitive line to walk here, as I do. You're a man of African heritage, and I'm not. You see the world differently than I do, and you're overly sensitive to things that I'm not sensitive to. I think that's what you're saying as well.
I'm a very fair person, even though I'm African American. I spent most of my life in the military, so the same boundaries out here in the civilian sector, it's not the same in the military.
No, I understand that. This is why I'm saying it's a very difficult call here. And I don't know where this ends. If you were to apply these rules to the military, for example, and you started to investigate every military member for tweets that they sent, what percent of the military would be dismissed? A good percentage, wouldn't they?
But if they find out, Mr. Savage, it's an action take. It really is.
I understand that, but you know that you're not going to weed out the human condition where people have racial bias. You know everybody has racial bias behind the scenes, right?
I guess as long as it doesn't show in their conduct and their character,
And that's what I'm saying. I mean, some people are racist, but they can put it aside. And some people are homophobic, they can put it aside. But what do you do with people who are gay who hate straight people? And what if they send tweets against straight people and ridicule them? Should they also be thrown out of the military or the police?
Well, I guess their conduct, their prior conduct.
Right. So you have to say, well, it hasn't really affected his conduct as a sergeant in the police station. Let's take it around. Let's turn it around. So you have a gay sergeant in a police station, and now he's going to get even for all the years of feeling oppressed by, in private tweets, he puts down straight men, puts them down, puts down Christians. Should he be fired? Well, you see, that's the problem. It's easy to say yes to the other way, but it's very hard to say yes when you apply it the other way. And that's why I say cyber fascism is where we have come with this desire to make everybody so kind and friendly. That's all I'm saying. We got to be very careful where this goes.
Well,
and, you know, I think it's listeners like you who make the show very interesting. A guy who really, I think you say you're in the military, we're in the military. You understand where I'm coming from. And I think you're a very fair-minded caller, and I want to send you a gift of my book, Stop the Coming Civil War, which you'll receive in a few days if you'll stay on the line. That brings us to 16 or 17 minutes after the hour. That opens up one line at 855-400-7282. If you care to call the program on this or any other topic, I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com.
I've sent Congress my plan to bring the cost of community colleges down to zero, because 2 years of higher education should be as free and universal
sure.
as high school is today.
Okay, everything's free in Obama's America. Now, let me ask you something. Who said this? Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. He was a right-wing fascist, wasn't he? Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. Wasn't he a right-wing? Wasn't that Mussolini? No, it was John F. Kennedy. Because I remember I was a young kid, I was struggling and trying to work to go to college or whatever, or stay in the graduate. I don't know what I was working hard. Nobody gave me a scholarship, nothing. But I didn't have a president saying my college would be free. I knew all along I'd have to pay for it. So as a result, I asked my father. He said, we can't afford to send you to a, quote, private college. You're going to go to a city university. I said, why? I want to go out of town. I want to go to a school and have a good time like my friends. I want to buy a white sport coat and a pink carnation. I want to be a typical American. He said, I'm sorry, we can't afford it. I don't have the money. You want to go to college? He said, pay for it yourself. He said, go to a city college in New York. They're good enough for you. And you want to make something of yourself, you make it of yourself. That's all. No one's giving it to you. And then I remember John F. Kennedy gave a speech, and it really struck me. I was a young teacher at the time, or a social worker, I don't remember which. And it was very inspiring. He said, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. Robert, if you could find that, it would be later in the next hour. It would be fun to have that. Now, compare that with the socialist in the White House. I'm being benign and kind right now. If you're only a socialist, I'd get on the floor and kiss the earth if you were only a socialist who loved America. But, all right, we'll call it a socialist. Obama has it reversed. He doesn't say ask not what you can do for your country, but ask what more your country can do for you. As long as you're not working and you're a bum who smokes marijuana, it's endless. The world is yours. But if you're a God-loving Christian American, forget about it. Then the government will come after you with everything it can. Oh, not directly, of course, not yet. They're not like ISIS taking down the crosses quite yet. But they're taking down the crosses inside the military, they're taking down the crosses inside the schools, they're taking down the crosses, meaning the Christian clubs, everywhere in America, working sort of like ISIS is doing, but in a nicer way, a friendly way, a sorority sort of way. They don't actually destroy churches with sledgehammers. They destroy churches from within by making it illegal to say God bless America as a valedictorian, for example. But if you want to give a speech about how nice it is for Jenny to have two mommies, why do so? Because that's secular, and that's humanistic, and that's advanced, and that's sort of a culture thing. And that shows you're an advanced cultural animal, not a retrograde nationalist religionist. And that's the new America that we're living in. What can you do? We all go about our business. We do the best we can. If you want to comment on any of these topics, I'm sorry to hear it, because it means you're miserable. KSFO Radio, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Mike, this is Ty, listening to you on KSFO San Francisco. Regarding the private tweets of the police officers, well, police are in a special, unique position that they are authorized by whatever governing body to use deadly force. And when you have them tweeting whatever they were tweeting, as a whole, I mean, I don't have to worry about Al Sharpton carrying a gun and shooting me like I would a police officer.
Well, you should worry about Al Sharpton carrying a gun, because his mouth is worse than a gun. Wasn't it Al Sharpton who went screaming down in Ferguson over and over again, saying that we will not forget this, something must be done? Didn't it result in the shooting of two policemen last week? So it's not those who pull the trigger that are dangerous necessarily, although they are. It's also those who say you should pull the trigger in a sort of subtle way. All I'm saying here is watch out who you get today, because tomorrow it could be you.
But, Mike, the police are carrying a weapon all the time. Al Sharpton, he shoots his mouth up all the time. But police...
Yeah, yes, but didn't he encourage the mobs? Didn't he incite the mobs? And didn't that result in the shooting, in your opinion?
Yes, Mike, I agree with you. He did inflame the situation. But Eric Holder, who's, you know... the power of the government, I think, was a greater threat. And if Eric,
you make my point for me. So let's look at Eric Holder's private email, private tweets. Maybe he said some things about non-minorities that we ought to be looking at.
I'm pretty sure he might have.
I don't know. Maybe he and Obama joke about non-minorities behind closed doors, how they're getting over on everybody and getting away with it, and they can't believe it. We don't know what they may be saying. Aren't we entitled to see what kind of tweets they're putting out? Maybe I'm mistaken. Maybe they love people who don't look like themselves. I could have it all wrong.
But, Mike, you yourself said that Churchill said the whole point of the Constitution was to protect offensive speech, offensive tweets.
That's exactly my point. The purpose of the First Amendment is to protect offensive speech. And so the liberals have destroyed the First Amendment by not protecting offensive speech. And that means offensive speech. And that means really offensive speech. And that means vile speech. It seems they protect pornography, the most vile imagery you can imagine the liberals love. But racist tweets, forget about it. That they don't love. How does that work?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
Savage. America. Oh, I'm a vision for America. You fly on Air Force One. You live like a pasha. And everyone eats garbage. And you talk about the poor. And the poor will elect you over and over again. It worked for every dictator in history. It worked for Chavez. It works for all the others in South America. And since Obama's vision for America is very much like that of America, it's disgusting. And that's why we need a third party. We need someone to demand better of a president and a first lady who abuse the presidency on a daily basis without a peep from the media and a peep from the opposition, because there is no opposition. Why do you suppose there is no opposition to Obama to speak of? Answer, because there is no opposition to Obama to speak of. They're one and the same. They make motions to pretend they're different, but he's basically doing what they do or want to do when they regain power. So you hear nothing. I'll give you another example. Every morning I wake up and I see these vermin called ISIS blowing up churches, destroying 1,300-year-old artifacts, erasing civilizations that withstood the test of time and wars and famine and floods, and the world does nothing. If I were commander-in-chief, they would have been dead by now. What in the world is Obama doing, celebrating Persian New Year in the White House instead of wiping the scum off the planet? Why is he permitting them to rage across the Middle East? Oh, I know. There's a coalition now of Iraqi forces that are making some headway in Tikrit. I get it. But why has it taken so long? And while ISIS metastasizes like a Nazi cancer across the globe, why does Obama refuse to acknowledge that it's Islamic? These are questions that would be raised if we had a legitimate third party or a legitimate opposition party, but we don't have it. This is Obama's vision for America. Everyone in a little house, a little car, eating little meals, smoking little marijuana cigarettes, with a little iPhone and a little medical care, all conceived and run by a little man with big ears. Last night, I was watching some garbage on television, digesting some Burmese food, and I scanned and I saw some CNN travel show. I don't know what it was. Some guy in an undershirt going to Greece, getting down with the folks, you know what I mean, on a Greek island. And he was glowing about how all happy they were. All of the people on this Greek island were happy. They drank ouzo in the morning. They all danced in the evening while drinking ouzo in the evening. And they showed how happy and healthy they were on this little island. Of course, he didn't report on the fact that they were all able to drink ouzo in the morning and not work all day but dance in the evening because of the hard-working Germans. And this, of course, is the flaw with Obama's vision for a socialist America where there is health and prosperity for all. Everyone in a little Obama house, a little Obama car, eating little Michelle meals, smoking an Obama joint, with a little Obama phone and a little Obamacare, all conceived and run by a little man with big ears. And now we have to turn to the gracious First Lady, herself just back from a separate vacation to California. The first man flew to California, of course, on Air Force One. Why should he not fly on something smaller? To appear on a television show, the Jonah Schimmel Knish Hour. The same day, the First Lady flew to California to appear on another television show, but she wouldn't deign to fly in the same plane as the president. After all, there are no consequences to crapping on the taxpayer. There are no consequences to abusing the White House. There are no consequences to ripping off the people. So she does it. So she flew there and back on another plane, and you paid for it. And what did she do last week that you missed? Well, she celebrated the Persian New Year in the White House. Let's listen to the saccharine speech of the First Lady celebrating. I don't think she was here for American Thanksgiving celebrating. No, don't think so. I don't remember a Christmas celebration that was as enthusiastic as this. But then again, Valerie Jarrett's from Iran. So let's listen to these sound bites.
Hello, everyone. Naruzatan Mubarak. It is really, truly a pleasure to have you all here at the White House. I think it's so fitting that we're holding this celebration here today because one of my favorite things about the White House is how it is truly the people's house, a house that reflects the diversity of culture traditions
Air Force
that
one,
make
two,
us
and three.
Who we are as a
country.
Yeah,
right.
And
right,
Nowruz is one of those traditions. For more than 3,000 years, families and communities
Nowruz
in the Middle
is
East,
our tradition?
Asia, and all around the world,
including here
in the United States,
have celebrated this
holiday to mark the renewal of the earth in springtime. And we're finally feeling spring. Yay for that.
Yeah, for the people in Boston.
To reflect on the year before and to make new
commitments. All right, turn it off, this saccharine garbage. Do you think it's appropriate for her to celebrate the Persian New Year at a time when we're allegedly negotiating with Iran to stop the maniacs from getting the atomic bomb? Of course not. But what can you do about it? You don't live in a democracy. You live in a cyber-fascist nation. Now we move on. Telegraph UK reports Elton John is slammed as a Taliban in Italy over Dolce & Gabbana rope. I don't know if you heard this one. Dolce & Gabbana is run by a gay couple, two men. And they have glorified the traditional family in a new product line. They said they really want to support the traditional family, Dolce & Gabbana. Well, for doing that, the fascist Sir Elton John attacked them and called for a boycott of Dolce & Gabbana. So now Elton John is slammed as a Taliban himself in Italy over Dolce & Gabbana Road. This is a very intriguing story. Sir Elton John was described as a Taliban by Italian politicians on Monday after criticizing Domenico Dolce and Stefano Gabbana's opposition to assisted fertility. In an interview with an Italian mag, the Italian fashion duo described children born through IVF as synthetic and said that despite being gay, they supported, quote, traditional families where children have a mother and a father. Well, all of a sudden, Sir Elton, 67, backed by a host of so-called celebrities, responded by calling for a boycott of Dolce & Gabbana clothing. Elton John said, how dare you refer to my beautiful children as synthetic? And shame on you for wagging your judgmental little fingers at IVF, a miracle that has allowed legions of loving people to fulfill their dream of having children, Sir Elton John said, who has two children with his so-called husband, David Furnish, on Instagram. But conservative politicos in Italy swiftly rallied behind Dolce & Gabbana, accusing the British performer of trying to stamp out freedom of expression. I'm with Dolce & Gabbana, and I applaud their courageous statement. This is freedom of expression, said Roberto Formigioni, a senator with the New Center-Right. The campaign launched against the two stylists by Elton John is shameful and intolerable. Elton John is a Taliban. He is using against Dolce & Gabbana the same methods used by the Taliban against the French satirical magazine Charlie Hebdo, said the right-wing party. The opinions of Dolce & Gabbana are significant because they are both homosexual and they think along the same lines as the majority of Italians. This is a very interesting story because here we have a gay company being boycotted by a gay for not being, I don't know, politically correct. You can put it that way. I don't like the words politically correct. There are many stories that I'd like to get to that are related in some way. In fact, all of them could fit on this frame. Here is a headline. Russia starts nationwide show of force. That's how Reuters put it. But you have to ask yourself, why is Russia showing force? Could it be because the United States is provoking war in Europe? Did you know that your U.S. Army, which is not really fighting ISIS, is sending an armored convoy 1,100 miles through Europe? Did you know that? Barack Hussein Obama, instead of fighting ISIS, wants to fight Russia and Ukraine. Russia is our natural ally against the Islamofascists. But the U.S. Army is sending armored striker vehicles on an 1,100-mile convoy through six European countries, so-called to show solidarity to allies in the wake of recent Russian actions in the Ukraine and Crimea that have Eastern Europe on edge. Did you hear this? 1,100-mile convoy, 3rd Squadron, 2nd Cav, Army's 12th Combat Aviation Brigade. I don't know how many men, it's not in the story. 3,000 troops. There we go. There we go. 3,000 troops. That's not the amount here. It says other recent actions include the Air Force's movement of 12 A-10 Thunderbolt tank buster attack jets. By the way, that's the same jet Obama tried to destroy 6 months ago. Remember I said, what, is he insane? Why would he kill the A-10 when it's a tank killer? Well, now they're moving Thunderbolt tank buster attack jets to an air base in Germany, not to attack the tanks that ISIS stole from the Iraqi military, but possibly to start a third world war with Russia. And they'll be matched up with 3,000 troops from Fort Stewart, Georgia. Now, I'm a student of history, and one of my most one of the areas that intrigues me the most is the start of World War I, which I call the unnecessary war. It began almost by accident. There was no reason for it. And once the countries were drawn into it, millions and millions of Europeans were slaughtered. Not only Europeans, but millions of Europeans were slaughtered for no reason whatsoever in battles that made no sense. 35,000 young British men were killed in one day. The next day, 30,000 Germans were killed for no reason whatsoever because the disgusting, corrupt, drunken old generals sent them into machine gun fire. And so the fathers and the sons and the brothers and the future fathers of Europe died. The flower of Europe died on the battlefields of World War I for no reason whatsoever. And it gave us Hitler and World War II. And what I see happening right now is a deranged madman in the White House whose ego is so frail that he would rather have war with Russia than take out ISIS. Can anyone explain that to me? Can any progressive listening to this show explain to me why it makes sense to go to war with Russia over Ukraine and not go to war full force against ISIS? I'd love to hear the rationale for that. Now, the question is, why has not one politician gone on the floor of our Congress and asked that question? The peripatetic First Lady and President should be answering us as to why they're traveling on two jets the same day and why are they not reimbursing the Treasury for those travels, since they had nothing to do with politics. They were simply for their own pleasure and their own ego advancement. But these questions are not being asked, are they? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
So now that was from an American, homegrown, right-wing fanatic, John F. Kennedy. He was a homegrown fanatic. He was a right-winger, wasn't he? Well, at the time, he was called a Democrat. But today, if a president gave that speech, he'd be called a Nazi. Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. Now, Obama says he doesn't even ask what you can do for your country, because to him there is no country. He only says ask what your country can do for you by taking from those who produce. That's called income redistribution. That's called fairness. That's called attacking the 1%, formerly known as Bolshevism, then known as communism, sometimes called socialism. And at the same time, you espouse that kind of hatred for the working American. You abuse the working American by flying all over the country on Air Force One while your wife flies on Air Force Two. And you pay for it while they go to be on a television show. That's their idea of fairness. So you wonder why people are agitated, why they hate Congress and hate the president. Oh, they hate the president. Oh, make no mistake about it, he's hated. And Congress is hated even more, by the way. Now we wake up on the eve of the Israeli election and find out that this individual in the White House has tampered with a foreign election. He sent 193 operatives over there about 2 months ago, including one Mr. Byrd, who ran his 2008 campaign in order to undermine Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, to make certain that a radical leftist wins in Israel. That's the dark agenda of this administration. And as that goes on, ISIS continues its blitzkrieg, destroying more and more sacred Christian sites. ISIS destroying all signs of Christianity. It does not appear in the San Francisco newspapers. All they talk about is homophobia homophobia and racism. They're still on to that. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. Also in the news, Dodge hits brakes on sale of red-hot 707 horsepower Hellcat. Remember I got one? They're not making them anymore. Maybe it's the best investment I made in my entire life. It has 202 miles on it. Will anyone give me $2 for it? No, I'm going to put it away in a garage. It will be. I think it'll be sold at Mecum in a couple of years, or 20 years. It'll be the center of my collection, of my Savage Museum, the Savage Presidential Library. It will be surrounded by audio tapes going back to 1994. That would be a nice centerpiece, because that's as American as they come. The 65 Cadillac that I once had, I sold regrettably 2 years ago to a gentleman in Alaska, I think, or Washington, I don't know where. And the cars are so popular now. I knew it. I just couldn't keep it. It was 19 feet, 6 inches of American steel and glass. So you want to symbolize America? It's this Dodge Hellcat that I have, but they stopped making it. You see, anything that's successful and strong and powerful is banned in America. Either it's banned or the company decides not to make it anymore. Why would they not make it anymore? Well, apparently they couldn't keep up with demand is what it came down to, and dealers were getting a little frisky about it. They were charging 50% over sticker for the car. Luckily, Dodge gave it to me at cost. So at the end of the day, I drove it the other day. It's a pretty fast car. It's unbelievable. But it's too fast. What can you do with the thing? That's the thing. It's like too fast. I mean, what do I need 707 horsepower? 701 horsepower I could use. But 707 is a little too much. I mean, I would take it with six less horsepower, which I would like to lend to one of those little mini cars that are guaranteed to kill the owner one day. Those little mini cars worry me on the road, because it seems to me even a bicycle that's careening out of control can kill someone in those cars.